You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Days Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
And today we are honored to be with Sam, who has honored us with his presence here in the studio. we're doing something a little different today. We are out in Los Angeles at the wonderful home of LA Talk Radio.
Right. They're visiting us this weekend.
This weekend.
And we just had lunch, which was excellent.
Beautiful lunch.
Right? Did you enjoy it?
So delicious. Yes, I love it.
Delicious lunch with baklava and some Turkish coffee at the end.
Mediterranean food.
Some wonderful food.
So the dessert left the most impression with you.
Well, it's the most recent thing. And sometimes our memories are like fleeting, right?
So
we remember the things that happened first and last.
Right.
And luckily that's true with relationships too. We remember our last one the most.
Yeah, right? I hope. I hope.
The most recent one.
So Sam is going to be working with us today to bring you a little bit more about ourselves and our show. And the whole reason behind 90 Day Soulmate was the opportunity to be here in Los Angeles. This is different. We've been working with Sam for, going back almost 12 years.
Yeah, we started when 2011, did you say?
Something around 2011.
Yeah, that's 13 years right there, you know.
And it is.
And then you guys moved on, did your own thing and stuff, and now you started 90 Day Soulmate, and you joined us again.
We did.
Which is amazing. You guys do your show at home.
We do.
Right? Then you send us the files. And
we're able to record in our own studio. We send Sam the show to the radio station. It's played every Sunday at 6 p.m.
Exactly.
Pacific time, PST.
Right. And then it's run also on replays. We replay your show probably once every other day, once every day other than Sunday.
Yeah.
So we do that with all our shows so other people can be exposed to your show. Yeah. You can also catch the shows on demand, of course, and on our website, and also on Facebook Live, on YouTube. We run live on LinkedIn and X. So all those shows you're live on, including our website.
It's amazing. We checked back on looking at the list, and there's easily a year and a half of shows now, 50, 60, 70 different individual shows with their individual flavors and nuances, bringing new topics, some from our book, 90 Day Soulmate.
Yeah.
Some are from the other book that we wrote recently.
Victoria Dream.
While Victoria Dreams.
And wow. So you wrote both books together?
We did.
Yeah. Wow. How cool is that? How long have you guys been together?
14 years.
14
years. Wow.
I was going to let her answer.
Pretty solid.
So I don't give the wrong number. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Or me too.
Don't get in trouble there.
Wait, has it been 3.5 or is it our fourth year anniversary?
Yeah.
No, it was from a movie last night we watched. A girlfriend, boyfriend were discussing their relationship. And he's like, oh, yeah, we've been together 3.5 years. And she's like, no. 4 years, 2 months.
The women always remember, right?
Yeah. They do.
To the day.
Sometimes. I do remember too, because there's a lot.
You remember more than me.
We talked earlier about our trip to Venezuela, and that was early on in our relationship, and that was the New Year's of 2010 going into 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So that really puts a time stamp on that was the year we had met, 2010.
Right, right.
And that punctuation of Venezuela and going to a completely different environment for myself.
Right.
But Lisette's hometown, home country, where she knew the rules of the road.
How did your show come about? Last time you did the show, it wasn't the same name, right?
Well, it was called Love Works.
Exactly.
Which was the relationship engineers. We've kept and coined that phrase, the relationship engineers.
Because I like it.
we are engineers at our basis, you know, that Lisette.
Oh, wow.
Our career, mine start off with electrical. Lisette's with, I keep saying the wrong one, industrial and then information.
Industrial information engineer.
Yeah. And then, and you would tell me you looked for someone with education. Well, you got it in space.
Yes, absolutely. Right? She not only has the industrial and information engineering background, but she also got her doctorate in education. So she was teaching in college in Venezuela, as well as running her own company, doing lots of things and being beautiful in both countries.
And dancing
in the nightclub where I met her.
No, yeah. That's not true. So have you always been this ambitious, Lizette? I mean, you always dreamed you were going to do a lot of great things.
I'm planning a lot from child.
So really?
To see, I want to be
that's
that
the key. You got to know what you want to do early on, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't know, then it's tough in your 30s to start finding your direction, right?
Yeah. It's I don't know, it's personality or sometimes the way that I grew up. But typical people say, no, Chich, you want to be in this. And I have a plan always. And you know my personality now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, not only a plan, but it doesn't waver or change that often or frequently, unlike mine. And that's how we've always talked about this too, how we're different in that way.
Yeah, so different.
Lizette's much more methodical in her planning and direction, and I'm a little bit more fluid in choices.
Uh-huh.
We talked in the past about how I wanted to be a musician at one point in my life and then realized I couldn't make any money doing it. So, so I fell back on what was easy for me, which I hate to say was engineering.
But right.
that was something that I was lucky to be good in math and science, but I had no real passion for at the time.
Right.
And I had passion for something else. And to be passionate about, and Lizette was very passionate about more lucrative methods of living.
Yes, when I see the money, I don't know. I feel passion.
It blinds you.
Yeah,
right?
It's weird.
What's that song by the Beatles? But money can buy you love. Is that what it is?
No, something like that.
Money can't buy you love.
I know.
Can't buy me love.
Well, we just saw that movie. No, you guys saw that movie.
Yeah, we saw the movie. The movie yesterday. You guys have to catch that movie. It's an amazing movie. I think it was in the theaters like 2 years ago or something. Now it's on Netflix. And it's an amazing movie, especially if you like the Beatles. They play their music and stuff like that. So
we're real close to Hollywood, right? So
there you go.
They were live at the Hollywood Bowl. That was an album I had growing up, right?
Beatles
live at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah,
that was a nice one.
Yeah, they were first on the Ed Sullivan Show, right? That's how they were introduced to the United States. I don't remember what year it was, 1960 something, but or was it early 70s? I don't remember, but. They came on here. Ed Sullivan was like the biggest thing on TV the time. He was featuring all the greatest musical acts at the time. And if you remember Beatlemania, I mean, with the girls screaming and crying and, you know, when they were singing and stuff. And
I've made a lot of girls scream and cry. Then I had to leave.
With your music.
Try it
with your music. That's not so easy.
Don't quit your day job. I remember hearing that when I wanted to pursue music at some point, and that was, you don't quit your music quits you, I think is what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no, I know. I was the same way. I was hoping to get into music, and then people told me get a real job, you know. So
yeah.
I started getting to real jobs, and I realized, I don't know if that's what I want to do.
You know that if you've worked in the entertainment industry and you see musicians out there, there are amazing, fantastic musicians. I would say literally tens of thousands of incredible people playing instruments, singing, songwriters. And when you see that and you go, wow, and so many of them deserve fame, they deserve notoriety, they deserve people to buy their stuff, but yet so few can really make it at that level. And then when you may be pretty talented, but the chance of you succeeding in that business is so difficult.
And you can tell when you live in LA, you know, and in this business, like you said, we have a lot of musicians coming in to different shows, and I've met many. And you're right. Many of them are excellent. They're very talented. But, you know, I mean, there's a million other people trying to do the same thing. And when you come to LA, you got to get in line, you know, because there's people that have been trying for years and you just got here. Your chances are very slim.
So,
but it doesn't stop people from trying, you know, and you see some people it pays off for, you know.
So do you think it's OK for me to tell the Taylor Swift story or so it, going back about talented people many years ago, 2005, 2004 ish, somewhere in that area, I worked for Merrill Lynch out of where was that? I'll think of it in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And in that area, one of our local branches was Allentown. It was the bigger branch. And we had a group meeting there where people would go and promote their different businesses and how they manage people's money. There was one person presenting by the name of Scott Swift. And he was presenting about his portfolio, about things he was doing. And he told this story about how he was giving that all up, moving to Nashville to support and help his daughter succeed. And he gave us all a demo CD of Taylor Swift.
Wow.
It's three songs. She was 13 years old. And at that time, she had written, recorded over 200 songs.
Wow.
And he had so much confidence in her, had some substantial money to back and help support. But she, you know, quite honestly, just terrific, terrific, smart, great musician.
Yeah. She had already been talented and writing songs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What year was that? Do you remember?
I'm thinking it was 2004-ish. It could be plus or minus 2 years. I've forgotten years at this point. That's 20 years ago almost, right?
Wow.
So,
yeah.
But it was...
what a success story, Taylor.
Not mine, but hers.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I was reading some of the numbers as far as how much she makes for the economy and all this. And, I mean, those are like records. She broke records like there's no tomorrow. You know?
Absolutely.
And I, you know, personally, I don't know why. I mean, I don't get Taylor Swift, but I'm not her target market, you know. I don't know even one of her songs because I don't listen to that type of music. But at the same time, you have to respect something like this when you have such an impact that people believe you can affect the elections.
Oh, my.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's got that kind
of
power.
Well, every vote counts.
Yeah.
Even her vote counts.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's more than that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Her endorsement counts also.
Yeah, she's the one that raises all the votes, you know.
Oh, my.
But it gets people to go vote, which is not a bad thing, you know.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So I know that we've turned our conversation to many different directions. And
right,
we can do that quite
which
easily.
Is fine. That's how the shows work usually, you know, especially mine. So if I'm in here, you're going to be talking about...
I don't have my presentation with tick.
Yeah, you're going to talk about a billion things when you're with me, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes I forget myself. But today I'm the guest, actually, so the co-host, let's say, with you guys.
We invited Sam. We were originally going to interview Sam, but he was bored with all the...
With myself,
Now, Sam's an exciting guy. He's got stories.
Thank you. But yeah, I felt that we should feature you guys a little bit because you guys always teach us things on your show and demonstrate different things, and you guys really think it out. I mean, you plan it out.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody do shows like you guys do that are so well planned out.
Thank you.
And presented. You know, I mean, you guys are very professional. And I wanted to ask you, how did the radio show come about? What was the idea behind it?
Well, I'll go back. Let's go back to the one that we started back in 2011-ish.
Right.
That
Love
was,
Works.
Yes, exactly. We were being interviewed on TV and radio programs because we had promoted our first book, which was called Single, How to Find the Perfect Match in 90 Days.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first draft of 90 Day Soulmate. It was our original way that we went to market. And when we did is we did some paid promotion, which got us on radio and TV shows.
Right.
When we did that, we were interviewed over 40 different radio and TV shows.
Mm.
And we started to not only understand what was going on, but we liked the format. We liked being able to present our story.
Right.
And we thought maybe there was a way to do more than that.
Yeah.
And incorporate some of our background and our research coming from relationships from a, I think, kind of logical and mystical place.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's important to note you guys are not really in the business mm-hmm. of fixing people's love life or anything, right? You guys do different things. Yeah. But how did you guys decide you're going to do this? You're going to get into this field of relationships and dating and things like that. And I mean, you guys get into it. There's all kinds of you put all kinds of slides up and things like that. What made you even think you're qualified?
I guess the first I guess commitment that we have is because when we create our first book and I found him, we say we need to return to the society that Grefus, I feel, they found my soulmate. Mm. So I, based upon the, I say this is our hobby because we really, this is not our business.
Right.
But we feel responsibility to teach others to how recognize yourself and also recognize what you want in the relationship. That is the mission. Yeah. So that is the way that we say we have to share this information in different way. Wrote book, have a radio, posting.
But the, I'll go back. I think that's the motivation. Mm-hmm. The motivation is that, mm-hmm. but what is the qualification? Right. We looked at it from, okay, when we were interviewed, one of the first shows we were on were two psychologists asking us questions about our book. And every time we answered based upon what we felt, what we did in our research, they would support and say, yep, that's correct. That's right. You know, research has shown that this and that, which kind of got us interested into the psychological aspect of what we did, which up till then was much more of a research-based, you know, engineers looking at relationship. And right. so that kind of got us into the psychology portion of it, where I continued on with education into psychology. I went for my doctorate in psychology based upon having this feedback from psychologists
right.
and questioning, you know, what is your theory based upon you guys have no background in this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And being really, what is that called? Empirically based, like yeah. evidence-based. We came, our first show was called The Love Engineers. We didn't profess to be psychologists or love matchmakers. We were looking at what research there was in this field of relationships and how we could present that in a what we thought was a logical way. Mm-hmm. And an easier to understand way, or at least a presentable way. And along the way, we learned a lot.
Right. And you wrote a couple of books. And
we did.
Yeah. And also for, I guess, my career, I my first business when I was in Venezuela is create procedures and process for business.
Uh-huh.
So I have many 45 different industry when I create more than 2,000 procedures for this company. Wow. We have a database. We sell that. So I say, why we create procedure for be successful business? Why we not create procedure for relationship? Right. So that is the mix our career or my career to create some procedure for love. Mm. So in the engineering view. So that is all the part of the background, the, yeah. the makeup where you are.
And plus, where we are. Plus, we had the opportunity then weekly to discuss new topics with each other,
yeah.
learn from each other. It was actually
it's our own therapy.
yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's good.
So that's how we got into it. And then as things progressed, we learned more and got, like as you said, we put a lot of time in. Every Sunday, I'll spend easily 6 hours doing the research, getting the presentation together. Well, during the week prior to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, everybody? 6 hours. You better listen to the show so they don't just waste their time, you know?
No, we're trying to do research that isn't, it's well recognized in the field of research, but mm-hmm. it's not typically presented in relationship shows.
Right.
A lot of times people will make grandiose statements about something where they may have heard it from somebody, or they may themselves be a good researcher, but they're not connecting it to the research. And
right.
we thought by trying to connect it to the research like an engineer would, rather than a relationship person or somebody who's more emotionally, we wanted to not only have the emotional side, but we wanted to have the logical side.
Yeah, right. The balance between
them. Yeah. And that's good. I mean, because you bring to the table views and research that's not by, say, professional psychologists and things like that. So you're given a perspective more of the your people on the street, you know, I mean, people that are normal, that were not trained to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important, you know, I mean, people want to hear, you don't want to just hear about psychologists about what they learned. You want to get from people's experience too, you know. And so that's very cool, you know. I admire that.
Thank you.
And I think makes the show really watchable and listenable, you know.
And with that, I think we're going to go to our first break.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest that. So we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Sorry about talking during it. I just forgot to turn off the mics, but that's okay. No problem there.
Oh, good. We put in a little thing for a freelancer then.
Yeah. So in fact, actually, when I'm thinking about it, the people on video did not hear us talking. The people on audio, no, actually, they don't hear us talking either because we're pre-recording this. So we're good.
Oh, good.
We're good. Yeah.
Good. So we did. So we have to start the show over, is what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
But that's another thing. We try to have fun. And
right.
Sometimes we have we also may be pre-recording the show, but 90% or more of the time we're live on Facebook when you post the show.
Right.
So we're trying to interact with audience members and people who have questions. And there's some really good audience members who really support the show, and we really appreciate that. So
a lot of interaction, which is cool, you know. It's kind of good that you are able to be there while it's live and actually respond to the comments while this is going on. So it's working out, really well for you guys.
And we're learning a lot because we do get feedback in different areas, and then there'll be a question. And then sometimes we've had audience feedback that triggered, okay, next show, we're going to research that topic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we do that kind of stuff, which is, in absence of doing the live show. And I think part of it is if you're a little bit of fearful of the live show because you don't know what's going to come out of your mouth,
right,
if anything.
Exactly. Well, but that's the thing, though. And that's why I like that we do live shows on the station, because you know that everybody's listening at the same time, you know, while you're doing the show.
Right.
But, of course, people listen afterwards and all that, but It's the feeling of spontaneous. You know, you don't edit the show. You just pretty much go with it. And people like it because it's right. natural.
It's natural,
know?
Yeah.
And you know, we don't pretend to be professionals here. That's what the station is all about, is to bring the means for people that are not professional radio or television people.
Right.
Actually present their ideas, their views, their opinions. And it turned out to be great. You know, I mean, people love it. So you can't argue with that.
No.
I wanted to ask you, the 90 Day Soulmate, explain the title a little bit. What does it mean?
Okay, 90 Day is coming from the first time that I create the list for Find My Soulmate and Real Find My Soulmate. So it's taken 90 Day.
So that worked for you, right?
It worked
90
for me.
Days.
90 Days.
Wow, you see, coming from an engineer, you better take this seriously because it works.
We have the first evidence. Is it the evidence
yeah.
that this is
You're
true?
A very analytical person.
Yeah, I am. Okay. I am, definitely.
That's cool. That's how you make life work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and then the concept for 90, if you see the 90 Day Soulmate is the company to promote our book and this kind of show. But 90 Day Solution is my company for business.
Oh,
so
I see.
So 90 Day Solution is pay everything, what do we do.
Right. Yeah.
And then we searching also for why is 90 Day. And if you see 90 Day is the time for the nature change the season.
That's true.
In 90 days, you can see a tree. And also we have in one book called 90 Day Challenge. It's a business book that we wrote, the second one.
Okay.
And then we explain how in 90 days the nature can change from, you have a tree and the tree fell the old leaf when it's fall and prepare for receive winter. Mm-hmm. And then coming back to green leaf and spring, you know?
Right.
So every cycle is 90 days. So if the nature is prepared for change, and do the new round. So why you cannot change yourself in 90 days to find your soulmate?
That's true. So that's sort of the rhythm of nature, 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
I see. That makes sense. So you're here to say you can find someone within 90 days who's not just anybody, but your soulmate.
Your soulmate is not anybody.
Yeah.
No, so we have people. Yeah, they wrote the book and say it's not exactly 90 days. They take us some time, a year. Or maybe a week. But some people we have.
Yeah, and I'll also say is that it's absolutely possible. Part of it is doing the work, though, and that's something that we talk about. A lot of people are relationships typically are emotionally driven. You know, you see somebody and you're attracted to them. And you have no idea of who they are, but you're just attracted. Right. And that may or may not work. But what we're trying to do is let's short circuit the introductory period by trying to find out if on a deep level you match. So instead of doing like, here are questions you answer, it's analyze yourself, find out who you are, find out your past, what your parents were or your guardians were, that family life growing up, because it's far easier to communicate with somebody that has a similar background to you. You don't have to be the same person, but it's much easier to understand where someone's coming from, the language they use, the love language they use, when you know that you have similarities in background.
Right.
Sometimes you meet somebody and on the surface level, you fit perfectly. You're just infatuated and you're so much in love. But then when you start getting into deeper communication, you just find you're not communicating. You're miscommunicating.
Right.
Because all those underlying programs and patterns from your youth have no connection.
Right.
And those are the things at core that keep you together.
So opposites attract works in emotion on the emotional level, but when you start getting to the nitty-gritty of the relationship, you don't want to be opposites. You're saying you should share a lot of the same opinions and views and things like that.
It's not necessarily opinions and views. It may be how you go about constructing your opinions and views. That if you are very analytical, you do research and you can change your opinion and view, that's more important, is how you come up with that view than the view. Because if you have two people who are willing to look at something in the same way, then maybe their view will change. But if you say, no, things are just how they are, and this is how I was taught growing up, then that becomes a difficulty. You may be attracted to that person because they stand out from the crowd, because anybody who's like you and not opposite, you don't see.
Right.
But when you try to go into that deep relationship with that person, you find out, you know, you're like, I go to hug Lizette and she doesn't want me to hug her because she's angry at me. She just wants me to fix something I did wrong.
Right.
That may go back to her childhood. And if I don't know her childhood because it doesn't match with mine, I may just continue to send the wrong signals to her.
And you don't understand the triggers on her end.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. So going back to the book is that in the book, we actually look at we have a checklist and we have questions on what is your childhood like? What was it like? How did you get raised? What were you taught? What are your values and beliefs? You know, do you believe people should not argue with each other? Do you believe they should? Were your parents two people who never argued? Or were they arguing passionately, but at the end, they really loved each other stronger for clearing up the communication?
Yeah.
And when you know that, that's sometimes exactly how you are without knowing it. And when you meet somebody who's not that way, you may think, oh, they don't love me because they're not acting the way my parents acted.
Yeah.
And they may love you, but they just may have a different set of, as you said, triggers or patterns that don't match yours.
And we bring different baggage to the relationship. Everybody comes from a different background and so forth. I know, because even when you come from a similar background, let's say you grew up in the same place at the same time, you're still going to be different, you know? And you're right. You need to know how to argue. You need to know how to fight. You need to understand what is happening at the time, so it doesn't continue, you know, so you can understand each other.
Exactly.
And also take consideration the difference. So people say somebody thinking different, he's thinking so different of me sometimes.
Right.
But I appreciate the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So most of people say, oh, different. I reject the different people. So when you appreciate the different in others, you can understand better and you can integrate.
Right.
So I want to go back to a question. We were, one of our first shows we were on where we were being interviewed, the psychologist asks, okay, Lizette's a gringa and Lizette's a Latina. I'm a gringo.
Yeah, but we acting backwards.
Whatever.
I acting like gringa.
Lizette's a Latina and you're a gringo. And how do those two cultures fit with each other? And thinking about it, I'm going, well, Lizette's mom and dad have been married their whole life. They stay together. Her mom's really outgoing. She's talks a lot. She asks a lot of questions. Her dad's much more quiet, more conservative. They've, again, been together for 30 plus years. And we started looking at our families and we had very similar family upbringings. We talk about education. She had her engineering degree and I had my engineering degree. And so we talked about having very similar education experiences, although they were in different countries.
Right.
And that's when the psychologist said that similar family background, similar educational experiences are associated with long-term relationship success.
Right.
And they were supporting our take on things without us knowing that that was like a psychological study and it had been studied before.
Right.
We're just, you know, analyzing what we thought worked.
Right.
And it turned out to be, these are things that work. But going back, the reason I brought all this up is the book is work. It's not like you read the book and magically things happen. But with the work, things magically happen. And that's where the analytical, logical side of relationships meet the magic of the law of attraction. Is that once you define all these things and you clearly know who you are and what you want in a relationship, when you're clear about it, your mind subconsciously starts doing the work for you.
Right.
You start filtering out the things that don't fit and you start looking at the things that do fit, but without consciously doing it. And that's where we're saying, program yourself to find that soulmate by knowing what you actually want.
Right, exactly. And be prepared to find them. You know, I mean, you need to be able to really know what you're looking for so you'll know you found it when you do.
Right.
You know, because, and that's a good thing because it makes sense because I think many people do not know what they want. You know, they may just go after physical attraction or something and then they wonder why they don't get along, you know. Because the physical attraction, that's in the beginning, you know. But then you're once you get used to it and everything's, you know, it's no more honeymoon. Now you need to know how to talk to each other.
Yeah.
You need to know how to communicate, to accommodate each other, to make yourself understood without fighting or arguing and things like that, you know. So so you're saying the book is not just to read it. You actually have to do the work.
You do.
Yeah.
And it's tough work. No, it's not.
Well,
it's
that's
not
how
tough
it is
work.
In life.
It takes time.
Yeah,
but it's also it's a soul search.
Right.
You know, it's going, do I really want something? Do I want something that's strong and lasting?
Right.
And going back to what you said, an initial attraction, and we in our new research and the stuff that we've accumulated over the last number of years, is evolutionary psychology and biology prepare us to meet people on that surface level attraction, chemistry.
Right. Right.
You see somebody, you're attracted, you want to procreate, you want to continue the species. That's number one. That's what our drives are.
Mm-hmm. Animal instinct.
But we weren't built for today's civilization and society and all the constructs of living in a household together and communicating clearly and having 20,000 words we know rather than 13.
Yeah.
You know, and with all this complication of life that we have now, we need a deeper connection for a long-term relationship.
Right.
And that's where this background research comes in.
Right. Lizette, what does this term soulmate mean to you? What exactly is a soulmate? Because the term gets thrown around a lot, and I doubt that people really know. Maybe it means different things to different people. But what does it mean to you?
I believe in that we have a soul. Okay, so everybody have a body and have a soul. Mm-hmm. And the way that you can found soulmate is the connecting spiritual with somebody. Mm-hmm. And we have one show weeks ago, we say it's not just one soulmate that you have. Okay.
Okay.
You can have many soulmates.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And connect in different way, because you can have also soulmate with your parents or with your son. Okay. But in relationship, you can have also one of the more soulmate.
Right.
But the point is, when you found this person, you connect by the spiritual level, by emotional level, by mental level,
and the physical, and physical, of course. Right?
The physical. Yeah.
So you know when you met the right person.
Yeah.
Because you can connect them so
you,
many.
You connect levels. In all this area, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's it. End of the show. No, I'm kidding.
No, I mean, I'm just like, because I've heard people talk about soulmates and stuff, but I realize people think about different things. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. some people think that the soul is actually male and female, and then there's just one soulmate, mm-hmm. and you separate when you're born. And then, you know, you can find each other.
If you don't found this, right. You are, oh, no, in my belief, I have many.
So if there's only one and you were separated when you were born, that mm-hmm. means that's 1 in 8 billion chance of you running into that person.
Right, right.
And I'm sorry. It's 1 in 4 billion if you say, you know, we're splitting the species into male, female, if you say
right,
that. But
right.
Let's just pretend it's 1 in 8 billion chance. That's crazy.
Yeah, but that's for us, you know. When God is in charge here, mm-hmm. it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, you're gonna run into them.
I mean, for that, for 4 billion numbers, it's no big deal.
Oh my gosh! If it was a movie, you'd be walking past your soulmate every day, a different one on the street, and you just wouldn't recognize them.
That's true.
So what we're trying to do is help you recognize that person that is that match. And in our book, we talk about souls want to be with souls. Mm-hmm. That when you split your human personality, the conscious person that you are, and you go down into the unconscious and subconscious, and you say, you know, where are you? Where are you from a birth standpoint, not where are you from this physical reality standpoint? Mm-hmm. That if you can get rid of the false things that we've been taught from the time we were born, and you go back into that, like that soul of a baby. Baby, you just think about a baby wanting to be with a baby. That there's this, you just want to, have companionship.
Right.
You want to have that soul connection.
Right.
And all this stuff that we learn along the ways, you know, from our parents, from our schools, from our society, kind of filters that from us being able to see. And what we're trying to do in the book is start removing that filter by matching the filter up with that other person.
Right.
If you have similar backgrounds growing up, if you have a similar education, if you have similar ways of going about things, you start breaking away that filter where that soul becomes more revealed to you.
Right.
And that's what we... Yeah, it's hard to put that in 130 pages because we've done shows now that
just gone forever. But you mentioned that some important chart is sometimes we attract the wrong person and you attract the same person always. And you believe, oh, it's because typical some woman say, oh, all men is the same or all woman is the same, whatever is the expression. But it's you, how you program yourself and you attract the person because you connect by emotional level, but you know, clean up these filters that Jim mentioned. And then you have these, your belief, this is love, but maybe it's suffering love. Right. So you are in one relationship. I love this person, but I can't live with him. Is it okay? That is not healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. So the point for our book is try to remove, because we were in this place. So we were with somebody that you don't feel okay.
Right.
So I say, why I dating the same guy always in different body. Mm-hmm. So it's because I have to reprogram myself, and this way I can remove this kind of the belief that this is love. Is maybe this is not love, this is just attraction, chemical attraction for somebody. And then when you clean up these filters, you really connect with the right person.
And when we come back from our break that we're about to take, we'll discuss why we are attracted to the wrong person again and again.
Okay, that's interesting. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Being single's not so bad. You go to parties when you want. You have the freedom to do what you want. Don't make eye contact. Oh, no. Pretend you didn't see her. She's attractive. Ah, but probably not my type. Ah, she's... probably a Scorpio.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
And that's the book, 90 Days Soulmate. Folks, you need to get it. Where can people find the book?
Amazon.
Amazon is the place to go.
It's the place to go. 90 Day Soulmate. It should show up. If not, throw our name, Golnick or Guevara.
Right. In there. It's right here on the screen so you guys can check
it out.
There
you go. Mm-hmm. So when we, just before break, I said, why are we attracted to the wrong person over and over?
Right.
So you're in a bad relationship right now. What's the same about every relationship?
You asking me? Oh, it's just not a rhetorical question.
Yeah, well, it is kind of rhetorical.
What's the same about every relationship?
Every relationship, whether it's good or bad, what's the same about every relationship?
I don't know that there's differences between the people. I don't know. I mean,
so every relationship talked about this is what does every divorce start with?
An argument.
It starts. It starts with two people who were utterly, totally in love and got married.
True.
Right. So
true. That's not every relationship. You asked me about every relationship. It's about every marriage.
Every divorce. But let's talk about every relationship starts with typically two people who are attracted to each other, very much in love.
Right.
Now, say 2 years later, they find out their things just have deteriorated. And we always talk about that the prefrontal cortex in the beginning of a relationship is shut down because of the chemicals that are produced. And this is absolutely true. This isn't just our theory on the street, is that these chemicals shut down your prefrontal cortex. Mm. And so you don't really think as clearly with your conscious mind as you typically would. Mm. And you're acting more from instinct of real attraction and passion. When time goes on and the chemicals subside and now you're building that relationship and now you're really logically thinking, you're now going, are they the person that I want to be with or not?
Right.
Now, this is where you say, oh, you know what? This is not the right person. And I can't believe why are all men? Why are all women this way? Well, the point is that when you think about that relationship in your subconscious, and when you don't really think about it consciously, your mind is telling you that this person that you're just breaking up with, that this relationship started fantastically.
Mm.
So you're going to look for that same type of start of a relationship.
Sure.
Which could possibly be that the only people you're attracted to are the people who mimic that person that you just found out you're typically not good with.
Right.
So you've got this internal pattern to find the same person again. You might find somebody who was more compatible with you for 5, 10, 15 years might seem boring and unattractive when you first meet them. But you could get along with them forever really well and build a really deep relationship that is passionate.
Right. So you're saying some relationships don't necessarily have to start with big sparks and fireworks and things like that.
Yeah,
you could just start maybe as friendship or something, and then you discover each other romantically.
And I just want to go back to, and we talked before the show about this, is that when we first met, we had a lot of filters to who did we want to meet before we met them. So Lizette, I was looking for someone who had a background in it, you know, educational background. She had a certain level in her profession, that there were these things that I wanted to make sure of. And she had the same with me, and that there were these filters before we even met.
Right.
And part of it, you know, we talked about our backgrounds, our family backgrounds being similar. She had a business and she had a website, and I was in marketing at the time, and I analyzed her website, and there were these connections that went well beyond just, she's pretty, you know, because you can, there's so many people you're attracted to.
Right.
But how, you know, the mental stimulation of attraction, where you have a connection that goes far beyond just that, flirting.
I can say my statement that I would say I like to have intellectual orgasm.
Intellectual orgasm.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So that is the way they say, this is my soulmate.
Yeah. And any orgasm is good, no matter what, even if it's flavor orgasm, whatever.
But it's in your mind.
Yeah, and it's just not a flirting thing. It's like a deep conversation.
Right.
So you can have like a witty, flirty conversation and think that this is like, wow, this person's so interesting. Mm-hmm. But when you have a deep conversation that you're like, wow, I like how they think. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't think the way you think, I like how they thought about that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm saying is that you don't have to be a perfect match.
Right.
And you don't have to have the same ideas and you don't have to have the same politics, but you have to have the same process.
Yeah.
And the closer those processes are, the easier it is to come to common understandings, even if the understanding is, hey, we don't agree on this. Right. But I really respect the way you came to that decision.
Right. Yeah. And that's the key. I think you need to respect each other too, you know. Mm-hmm. I think in arguments and fights, people sometimes put each other down.
Oh, yeah.
And too busy thinking about what they're going to say rather than listening to what the other person is saying, mm-hmm. you know. And these are skills, I think, conversation skills that are important for a relationship,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Because people are like, I mean, you spend all your time together, all your lives together, even if you go work at different places and all this stuff, but you're together, you know. I mean, you know, when you stay with each other 10, 15, 20 years, you know, you have to know how to get along.
Yeah.
You have to, you know. You can't just continue like fighting and arguing and not listening to, it's not going to last, mm-hmm. right?
Well, it's one really good characteristic that I see in Jim is
right.
the capacity for recognize. Mm. So sometimes we discuss some topic that we agree, they have a bottle of the water here, he want to have here. And I say, okay, we're not looking for who is right or is wrong. It's just I want here, he want there. But in the moment when you are emotional, you have to come down. Okay,
right.
You cannot
right.
discuss and you wait. So the next hour or day, he say, oh, I recognize if we put the water here, maybe fell and broke, and here is more safety.
Right.
Wow. So for me, if he has this capacity that I admire.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Yeah. So you guys came prepared to the marriage. I mean, you weren't just teenagers. You've already had some experience in your lives.
Too much experience.
He have many practice before.
So Lizette talks about having 300 boyfriends before meeting me.
But it's for make the book, you know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
for practice.
Okay. So I had multiple marriages that started off like everyone, where uh-huh. you think you're in love, and you are in love based upon the theory of modern day advertising. You know that you have right. this emotional, physical attraction, and you really like the person. I also told Lizette, I used to have this thing that if I could get along with somebody, I thought any two people that got along should be able to get along forever.
Right.
And that's not true.
Not true.
It's not. Because when you first meet somebody, you can get along because you're very superficial, even when you think you're sharing, because sometimes we don't share. You know, we talk about, she can look at here's my cell phone. I have her cell phone. She can go on my computer. I can go on her computer. And it's not that, that no one can do this, but I know so many people who are like, you know, give your phone to your girlfriend or your wife for the weekend. And they're like, right. no way.
Yeah, we right. have some seminar, we do that. And some couples say, no, that's right. privacy. You're just sleeping each other. So right. what does the privacy right. mean?
And it doesn't mean yeah. that you live like this pristine life. You can, as long as you both are sharing and you're okay sharing everything with each other, then it actually opens up the communication so much is that once you start hiding something, you start hiding more.
Right.
And once you relieve all that pressure of having to hide something, mm-hmm. you can have like a wonderful relationship, because then it's about we're together. We're not two people who just live in the same house.
Right.
We're two people who are like one, as we just want to enjoy the rest of our lives.
And working like team. Yeah. Working like team. So
yeah.
Take us up. Some rule
we work like rule. Teens.
Yeah.
Teens or teams?
Teams.
And like teens, like we enjoy things. We enjoy travel. We enjoy working out. We enjoy food. We enjoy
fixing stuff, working.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. You got a great formula working there, and it's cool. We are out of time.
We're out of time. Lizette. Oh, look at that.
So do you want to wrap up the show somehow?
Sure. We typically wrap up the show with thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jean and Sam.
And Sam. And thank you, Sam, once again for having us in the studio.
Of course. Yes. Thank you for coming. Have a safe trip home.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.